Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
To the NutriMedical Report, we have Lowell Ponte here, and Lowell, of course, is an amazing guy, and of course, I've been one of his functional medicine health providers as well. But there's a bunch of major stories going on here. One of the ones I see in the Senate of Judges is Obama snubs a new Democratic star. Now, I want to follow up on this because this is interesting. There's a lot of people, only about a third of Dems are crazy enough to actually want Democratic Party to move uber left, and Obama releases a list of Democratic midterm endorsements, and you don't see Ocasio-Cortez in that list, which is interesting, and you can see why, because he's in a sense center-left. He's not so far left, even when you look at Nancy Pelosi, she's trying to kind of play it both ways, but it's kind of killing her geopolitically. And then we have, of course, the situation in Canada. I want you to start off with that story. And by the way, you sent me an article that I thought was quite interesting. It talks about the radiation in your wine. Of course, this is an attack by Rothschilds against Northern California, where it's on fire. And I want to open up with this because a lot of people don't realize the breadth of my expertise in areas from quantum biophysics, astrophysics, geology, oceanography, etc. But I'm going to lay a bunch of things, and I want you to raise some questions on this, because when we see Northern California, the world going through global heating and climatic disasters everywhere, including thermal activity, for example, in the Far East and Indonesia, they had that major earthquake that happened when we had that red moon. You can expect the gravitonic torsion field space-time lensing effect to cause geomagnetic disturbances, as well as the increases occur also around vernal equinoxes of the planet. These are standard things that any geologist knows that's advanced in astrophysics. What's going on is we have a drop in the ozone layer significant enough. Ground level UV, B, C, and D light. A will tan you, B will burn you, C will give you cancer, and D can go race to the side of a building. Cosmic rays, background space-based X-rays, etc., are dramatically increased, 73% since the last 24 years. We're having an increase in climatic blocking. For example, the blocking of the Pineapple Express that brings moisture to Northern California from Hawaii has been blocked for 7 years plus. And it turns out all the support companies for TEPCO are American. So TEPCO is just an umbrella. The actual support companies, and even Trump, has done zero to stop the radiation flowing, and not just to North America. A lot of people think it's just wine country in California affected. Most people don't realize that radiation is coming in at 26 to 30,000 feet. It doesn't rain over California because we don't get rain. It rains over the Midwest and elsewhere, like in Vermont. And it circles the planet on average 7 times before it falls in precipitation. So we're not only destroying the ozone layer, we're damaging the climate with that in post-geriatric nuclear reactors and climate manipulation by satellite-based torsion field technologies, which I am very familiar with, having had above top secret clearance at U.S. Missile Defense and Space Command. I can tell you, they're freaking with the weather, and it's harming the world climate, and they're trying to say it's global warming, and there's carbon credit generators, that's us, need to be eliminated. And if you think this is minor, every branch of our military now has a climate change disaster plan, which I think is insanity. These are pseudoscientists that need to stop, they pull their head out of their ass and start smelling the coffee because they don't know what they're doing. They're blithering, dangerous, eugenicide idiots. And I want people to understand that the previous presidents, including Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, etc., none of them understood climate itself, and nobody's put forward a nonlinear supercomputer model of Earth climate, which they've been freaking around with for years and using as a weather weapon. We and the Russians are the most advanced in this, but there's three other nations. And I see this as a big disaster. This area in Northern California is only the start of the fire season. And it's not just here, it's all over the planet where you're going to see massive crop failures, massive climate disasters, which is what's driving the people from the Middle East. I want to raise that issue because I think, aside from all the political, I think these other issues are going to take over and the political thing is going to be dragged by its neck into the future, aren't they?
Oh, of course. In fact, my 1976 book, The Cooling, was largely about NMOD, environmental modification warfare.
Right.
The essence of which is to create some short-term effects and then persuade people of really long-term effects. And by doing that, to be able to change the entire political and income redistribution pattern on the planet.
Right.
In fact, as we quote in our current book, Man, Morality, and the Machine, or Money, Morality, and the Machine, pardon me.
Right.
Several UN officials have just come right out and said, oh, our climate program isn't really about climate. It's really about global income redistribution. It's about changing the economic model that has reigned for the last 150 years on the planet, which is to say capitalism. And so, therefore, they need, and this is why they were pushing global warming for the past 20, 30 years so hard, they need to have that as a major crisis to justify the government seizing vast amounts of money on the order of hundreds of trillions of dollars, redistributing it through the UN, which has very sticky fingers and will keep a large portion of it, and altering things like private property and individual wealth, all in the name of saving us from climate change. And so now they're taking advantage of a weather situation they themselves have modified, and yet they're hesitant to actually say much of anything. There are a few lunatics like Michael Mann, the fellow who gave us the hockey stick graph, which was very carefully tailored not to include the medieval warming period.
Or include data they selectively removed from northern latitudes. They played this game to try to manipulate the data to fit what their model was.
Oh, of course, they've done that all along. In fact, they've been caught in such manipulation time after time after time, and yet those same scientists are treated as if they're credible, when in fact they have zero credibility. They've been caught cheating. They've been caught falsifying.
They're sort of pseudo-intellectual, narcissistic megalomaniacs. How's that?
I think that's a reasonable short summary. And then you have government agencies like NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, who put out, oh, the world has not stopped warming. It's really all there. Here it is in our data. We've put it out as a study to Congress. And several members of Congress then asked them, well, we'd like you to turn over your raw data on this.
Right.
And the heads of NOAA went berserk, and they said, you can't ask us to turn over our data. Of course, they don't really have honest data. If their data could be checked objectively.
Actually, the only data they have would be a picture of data from Star Trek. That's the only data they have.
And so what they practice and what Trump has been fighting against is what in the field is called secret science. That is, they want to do all kinds of policy impingements on you and me while keeping the science to justify what they're saying hidden.
Right.
So they don't even have to fake it anymore. They just claim it is thus and so. And then they get
information. It's dogment anti-science, which is nonsense. How's that?
I think that, too, is a perfect summation of what we're looking at.
Now, what I see as a consequence of this, though, and here's where the solutions come. Number one, we need to re-engineer the benthic layer of phytoplankton to improve the carbon-oxygen cycle. We need to stop polluting the oceans so there's more plastic than, you know, when they talk about outlying straws in various districts here in California. The problem is to have total recycling. There should be no waste dumps. Everything should be recycled down to its atomic or plastic or basic materials so it could be reacquired by industry through completely recycling. I'm talking about 100% recycling, not into landfills or into the oceans. We also need to make sure that we have international laws against dumping pollution in the air. For example, there's no such laws in Asia or in China or Taiwan or these other countries. They're dumping pollution into the air that 5 days later is on the San Francisco Bay. People don't understand this. It's a closed-loop system. And if you use new nanotechnology or new toxic chemicals, there's estimated 7 new chemicals every day added to the biosphere. We have no freaking idea what it does, and it's not additive. It's multiplicative by exponentials. So people don't get this. In fact, what I do as functional medicine is the most complex activity of humans on Earth. And if people will start to listen, because I can do testing to prove what I say is true, whether it's radiotoxins or enzymatic activity or gene silencing from scalar radiation like 5G networks and smart meters, this is not open to anybody's geeky opinion. When people think they have a right to an opinion, you got to show science, people. You can't just go and have them attacks or say, I believe I can talk louder and faster than you, Deagle. Not going to happen. I have no patience anymore for morons. None. Zero. Nada. And the government, as far as I'm concerned, and that includes Trump and his advisors, these people are dangerously ignorant. Dangerous. Okay, and we come back. We want to talk about this. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because we have interesting things. I wonder, and I want to switch for a second to the story with Barack Obama, the fact he doesn't include Ocasio-Cortez. He probably is a smart enough geopolitical politic person himself that he realizes this is a death of the Democratic Party. You can't promise what you can't deliver. You can't promise, for example, free health care. For example, I'm on Medicare. I'm 66. And it cost me more than when I was on Kaiser. I even got copay. If you have a copay for anything, man, it's considerably more expensive than so-called Kaiser. Healthcare, by the way, in Canada and socialist countries, is hangnail medicine at the speed of light, which is what happens. And if you have a limited number of technologies, let's say the ECMO heart-lung bypass machines or ICU monitors and so on, the person at the low end of the totem pole, the person that's, say, 2 years old or, say, 72 or 75, they basically don't get the care. They die. And people don't understand this, like Ocasio-Cortez flailing her eyes around and popping her little doe-like eyes. She is a complete narcissistic, megalomaniac, manic depressive idiot. And the same as Bernie Sanders clauses should know better as a doctor. If you want to have health care, the first thing you do is you get rid of state licensure. You get rid of the pathways to become a health professional so that you can start off a chiropractor. And if you can prove you know the knowledge of medicine, and you then go to a surgical center to actually pick up the skills of your medic in the military, you can become a surgeon. And you need also have licensure that's not controlled by the government or Health and Human Services or protocols, because once you stiltify things into a protocol, you force it to a business model to make some people rich. That's why the primary purpose of state licensure is to compete against one group of doctors against another group. They're equally qualified by their specialties, but they want to go after each other because they're competing for the same dollars. And that's why you can find a 40 to 200% plus difference in the cost of a procedure in a hospital within 20 miles of each other, say, North County, San Diego.
It's well, for disgusting. Example, the war against midwives in medicine is typical of this.
Right.
The thing exactly. is, one of the major purposes of having medical schools and credentialization is, as in most fields, to limit the supply. And thereby increase the profits.
Well, they limited supply in America because they didn't set up any new MD medical schools. They increased DL medical schools, but they still didn't have enough of both. So those foreign medical graduates coming to America, you do not have enough doctors. In fact, if we actually had a national health care system, we'd be short of around 300,000 to 400,000 doctors in America. Did you know that? We would be massively short. And even if we decided to say we're going to take PAs and bump them up or nurse practitioners, we'd still be short. So the fact
is, yet even deficient as we are, when you look at Canada, people there cannot get an MRI, but if they take their pet just south of the border to almost any American city, they can immediately get their pet an MRI at the nearest veterinarian.
Right. Right.
I mean,
well,
it shows just how pinch-penny they have been in Canada.
Well, I've seen the healthcare system in Canada. It's disgusting. And they not so quietly actually euthanize people every night and every day in every hospital. It's not not hidden at all. And
Ocasio Cortez, we have these following problems. Maduro in Venezuela, which is socialism by any definition, has just admitted that at a party congress that their system isn't working, that it has totally broken down, that it has failed economically. And that's the head of the government in Venezuela admitting that socialism doesn't work, and yet she goes on advertising it or promoting it. That is a major difficulty. Of course, in political terms, which Barack Obama is acutely aware of, all the recent polling shows that at least 76% of Americans say they would never vote for a socialist.
Right.
And that simply makes it impractical to at least call yourself a socialist. You have to call yourself something else.
Right. Well, I think what happens is people are catching on, though. Bernie Sanders is psychotic. And the thing is, he's jumped on the bandwagon. Even the head of the Democratic Party said all the young people are getting out. Yeah, young people still live in their parents' suite or basement. They're still in their late 20s, early 30s, that are wanting more handouts from government, and government can't afford it. In fact, Ocasio-Cortez, when she said, well, how will you be able to afford this? He said, we'll shut down the military. We'll shut down ICE. We'll get rid of the borders. So basically, we will not have a country. We'll have a place where if you arrive here, you get all kinds of free stuff. Free health care, free education, free topping up your income. I mean, where are they going to get all the money? I don't know.
Fundamental rule of economics taught by Milton Friedman and the science fiction writer Robert Heinlein both is summed up in the acronym TANSTOFL, which stands for there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. You may go somewhere where you can get free ham sandwiches, but somebody had to grow the pork, somebody had to make the bread, somebody had to grow the wheat, somebody had to make the mustard to go on the sandwich, and so on. In other words, somebody paid the cost of you having a ham sandwich. The only question is who. And if you think you're going to be able to always extract that cost from the productive people of society, that was the whole point of Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged. What if the actual producers, who are taxed to pay for everything, one day just went on strike? What if they just said, we're tired of being screwed, we're not going to be held up this way anymore? The whole society would collapse overnight, and that basically is what's happened in Venezuela.
Well, that's why libertarians, based on things like Ayn Rand and the and Rand Paul, et cetera, and including that's why he's a senator, have looked at this logically. For example, I have a plan for health care. Would mean a VAT, value-added tax. The money would go to the county. The county would hire their health professionals. They would decide how many MRIs and CTs and PET scans. We've got a ridiculous excess of certain specialties and technology we don't need. And the fact is that people don't have access to advanced functional medicine care, which could be done even at home. For example, you don't need to necessarily have a nursing care bed in a hospital. You could have it at home with telemedicine. You could have mobile techs coming by to check on people multiple times a day or even be there. Technologically, and even people have mobile, wearables to protect them. Whether they have it now for cardiac arrhythmias. So what I see happening is we need to move into the tech age. For example, I believe in functional pathology before symptomatic disease presents itself. So when I do functional medicine, what I recommend first is, for example, I look at their medical history, and I do free consults and emails. Then, if they want a consult, it's 11-page history form. I have Citrix share file for HIPAA compliance, so I can look at images. But I can do a metapathia scan either on-site here in Vista, California, or remotely, or look at their QRMA if they have a QRMA machine and send me the report. Then I narrow down their tests and send test kits to them. If they don't want to go to LabCorp Quest, I can send a mobile tech to their home or business. And then I can do most of the things I do can involve nutraceuticals and technology that don't involve drugs. Drugs are a minor thing. I usually tell people not to take things when they go to their cardiologist. Don't take this, 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 and this. And we are substituted. I have one gentleman who's just recovering now, 2.5 months after having a post-infective cardiomyopathy nearly died. They screwed him up in hospital numerous times, and I was monitoring his care day by day. And because I was able to substitute, he's now basically off all the garbage, dangerous drugs he was given by his cardiologist. Not one, but a whole, if you want to call it, pavilion of these damn cardiologists who are harming him. Okay? So, medicine in the future can be cheap. We need to hire doctors based on an hourly wage. It doesn't matter if you're cutting or you're talking to somebody or health professionals in general. And it could be done through the county, and you wouldn't have any health insurance, no malpractice, No state licensure and alternative pathways to health care providing. You mentioned earlier about the book. I mean, you have a series of books. This is the seventh in the series. How do people obtain it? What's it called? Money, Morality, and the Machine.
Money, Morality, and the Machine. Craig Smith, you would have seen, in fact, today and yesterday on Fox News Channel. He is co-author of these seven books. And we are just giving these away. We'll pay the postage, we'll pay everything, just to arm people with the information. He does not need the money from selling a few books. So this is our little contribution to humankind. This is a 250-page book. You'd pay $20 for it at Amazon. You can, however, get it postpaid and free. I mean, it will not cost you a penny just by calling a toll-free number, 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. 800-630-1492.
Right. Let's get back into some of these other topics.
I just want to mention in passing, yeah, because you mentioned what's going on in Ontario. In this book, we discuss the movement by both some on the left and the right to create a universal basic income where everybody is simply given money, and it will make society so much better, especially when the robots take over. Well, they tried it in Finland, and they gave up, finding it was a bad idea. They have just been doing such an experiment with 3,000 people in Ontario, Canada, and they have just given it up in Ontario. After less than a year and a half of a three-year experiment. Why? Well, they don't really say so, but it's because if you just give people money, you destroy their incentive to work.
Right. Actually, I have a better plan, and listen to this. My plan is called Workfare. I don't believe in welfare, and I'm going to extend this so far and say, look, let's say you had a traumatic neck injury like Superman, which you became a quadriplegic. If you could work 2 hours a day with a stick in your mouth, because you can't even gesticulate, you can use a computer with a brain interface, and you can work 2 hours a day, you can get workfare. And I believe you top up someone's income only if they're willing to work at something. Maybe all I can do is clean around, take care of people's kids, or clean around somebody's yard, or they had a post-traumatic injury so they can't remember stuff. You put them in a position where they can do something. Everybody has value, even if it's to just be a house sitter. And the problem I see is we are moving toward a culture where the blue-collar jobs are going to be gone in 5 years. I know Trump is doing a lot to try to bring blue-collar back here. But again, the fact is, it's at a time in history where moving jobs to third-world countries like China and elsewhere is dead. Because with 3D printing and robotics and artificial intelligence, the blue-collar jobs will be gone in 5 years. That's a fact. This is even before Trump finishes his second term. The fact is, if you're going to have workfare, you have to get someone at work. You have to recreate new jobs that make life valuable for everybody else and everybody in society. And what you do then, you also have to have some kind of controls on the cost of producing food and the cost of housing. Here in California, there's no cost controls. They say it's a wonderful state. No, it isn't. People are literally stacked like cordwood in some of these homes here, even in Vista, California. They come up here, they work their tail off, they go and they have three families in one home that should be a one-family home. The cost of living is insane here. Do you know that San Diego is the one of the most expensive cities on earth to live? It's more expensive than living in Bahrain or some top city in the world. That's insane.
And one challenge in Southern California, of course, is the government puts in all these regulations over how many homes can be built.
Exactly.
They do it by limiting population density or building density and so on. And it's the old California tradition that, I've arrived here now, shut the gates on the next group who might arrive.
Right. So,
and so there's always an attempt to stop other people from moving in next to you or building a house next to you.
Well, the other thing that I see is mismanaging resources. For example, they have this mud-type dam up in Northern California that the so-called Gavin Newsom was the manager of that, and he screwed up and is still not repaired. If the dry period ends and the rains come, that dam's going to break and destroy up to a third of a million homes in Northern California. Gavin Newsom is a blithering moron, and Unfortunately, there's enough Californians here that are Democrats. They're going to vote for the idiot. I'm hoping it'll be John Cox. Now, I know he may or may not be the best candidate, but at least he's on side with enough issues to realize the reality that you need to be pragmatic to solve problems. And the part of the problem I see is the idea of left-right dialogue. When you see with Trump, and Trump is still screwing up, but Trump is not left or right. If you try to put a label on to say he's GOP or Democrat or whatever, those labels will slide off because they won't stick. He's a Teflon man. Now, he's got bad advisors around like John Lightning Bolt and other people, and he doesn't have full information, for example, how to, right now he should be having on-the-site administration monitoring of North Korea. He should have meetings immediately with Iran. The sanctions against Russia and China need to be dramatically increased. For example, Russia's hacking into our power grid, our water treatment facilities, and our air traffic controllers. And the fact is, if there's a first-level war, the first attack won't be a missile. It'll be a cyber attack. And we have, not only that, industrial espionage. China needs to be put in notice. We're going to put a stop to it now. We'll even block their students coming here to the universities if they don't smarten up. But we don't see that. We see Trump trying to kiss butt and trying to make deals by being nice front up. And he's embarrassing even the Republicans that want to support Trump to say, why didn't you get harder on Putin? Putin is a dictator. He's a maniac, okay? Let's face the music here. Russia can be tamed just like a bad animal, but he's a bad actor and he's dangerous, okay? And we need to understand that. When he threatened 3 months ago to hit America from the Seoul with hypersonic cruise missiles coming in at Mach 10 through the southern hemisphere because we have no missile early warning missile system, he's serious, okay? And the man is not stupid, but he's dangerous as hell, and people don't get that, do they? The same as Xi wants to take over industry. They built 500,000 warehouses to warehouse all the materials in the world, and they want to take over not only the Belt and Road system, but the entire world economy. China's not fooling around, and they're worried that they know eventually India will overtake them in the next decade. So we need to understand that Trump is being hard. He needs to be a hell of a lot harder. He needs to shut down Mueller. He needs to get rid of Rosenstein. He needs to de-license media. They're doing a soft coup against him. And he doesn't just need to Twitter back to people. He needs to shut them down. And Trump is not hard enough as far as I'm concerned.
It would, of course, somewhat of his own party backed him. But here's an example of what is being done in California. And I'm sure you appreciate this, where they need to be building a lot more aqueducts or a lot more reservoirs to hold water. In Venezuela, one of the ways the socialist government there has tried to control people is by turning the over to government military control power over the water supply, so that if you cross the government too badly, if you're considered annoying, they can cut your water off entirely.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yes. Now, in California, Governor Jerry Brown has done the same thing. He's already put in place a law that gives the government power, even without drought, even without a water emergency in the state, to limit every resident to only 55 gallons a day per person.
Now, I think that law comes in, was it a year or 2 years from now?
Well, it may be, but I mean, it isn't put in force yet. It's set to be in force starting in 2022.
Right, but the point is, it's
exactly the same kind of power that they're using in the socialist Venezuela.
Well, the fact is that they want to pretend that there's water shortage. Water comes from ringwoodite and the mantle of the earth. There's 10 times more water underneath the earth. This is where the Bible talks about this. The waters of the great deep come, meaning the waters from above, in the great flood of Noah's flood. The fact is, I have a guy, Paul Power, who will be coming down here in the next month or so, who uses all kinds of technology, including radar mapping, to find primary water. And he already was down in Escondido, in Ensenadas, over the last 10 years, and they find primary water there. He's been around 60 years over countries all over the world, finding primary water in Africa and the Middle East and elsewhere. There's no shortage of water. If you have a fault line, you got water down there.
And in fact, even if we did have drought in California, there's another solution called the Pacific Ocean. I happen to live in Carlsbad, where they have the world's largest desalination facility. They're making enough water to maintain several cities just out of the ocean. And we could be doing that up and down the coast of California. There are also icebergs. You know, if we were to tow one 20-by-40-mile iceberg that breaks off in Antarctica, I am author of a chapter in the world's only major scientific book on iceberg utilization.
Right.
If you took one iceberg like that, wrapped it in 18-inch thick foam to retard its melting, and then towed it at 1.5 knots from Antarctica up to be anchored off the coast of California, you not only would have a wonderful recreational facility, you would have enough fresh water to supply all the state's needs for 1,100 years.
Wow.
That would be very cheap. Going to melt into the ocean.
Exactly. Wonderful about doing interviews with you, Lowell. I always learn things. You've written so many books on everything from the global cooling to geopolitical things, the Reader's Digest, you've researched on Intel, think tanks, etc. Is that a lot of people don't think through the issues. If we actually thought through the issues, virtually everything we have, including climate change, etc., is solvable. I call an overall project I call the Defense of Earth, or DOE, Defense of Earth Projects, where we can use climatic modulation using space-based torsion field modulation of weather, as well as ground-based things like primary water. We're going to get Paul Power. He'll be down here in the area in probably a matter of weeks. Paul, of course, has been doing drilling from primary water everywhere for oasis water. If it wasn't for oasis water, my great-great-grandfather, who owned the largest caravan traveling from Damascus, Syria to China twice a year with my great-great-grandmother, would not be able to travel, because every so many miles, if you didn't have an oasis, you wouldn't survive to get to China. And people don't understand, this water did not come from the sky. It came from deep inside the earth in oases. And this is the water, for example, that Muammar Gaddafi was drilling. And part of the reason why they attacked him wasn't just because he was setting up a gold standard for all the Muslim countries. And the guy was a genius, even though he was a cross-dresser and kind of weird. But he was a genius, taking a lot of things for his people. If you had healthcare issues or wanted an education, they gave you free money to actually get your education, basically interest-free loans on buying homes. 75% of the new water in Libya was actually oasis water pumped into giant new reservoirs and lakes and rivers. People don't know this. In fact, the drilling rigs are from Britain, and there were at least 10 drilling rigs that were actually blown up as so-called rocket launchers, supposedly by NATO forces, when in actual fact they knew damn well there are British drill rigs contracted by Muammar Gaddafi to drill for primary water in Libya. And they didn't want people to know that the fact that the major migration of people from the North Africa and the Middle East is water-related and climatic-related. It has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is a secondary factor, isn't it?
Oh, there are amazing things that can be done looking for water, for example. Much of the U.S. cropland along the heartland of the United States is the Ogallala Aquifer.
Right, and guess who bought a lot of that access to that land? Was the same people, was this T. Boone Pickens and these other characters that want to use it. They're sort of oil engineers, but they actually bought the land up to have water rights over the Ogallala. Is that right?
The thing that's frightening, of course, is we are draining the Ogallala faster than it can refill itself, at least as present technology.
Well, we could refill it with primary water. If we wanted to, we were smart.
Well, that's the idea, yes. You'd find a deeper deposit.
You'd find a deeper deposit from inside the earth, because literally there's 10 times more water deep underneath the tectonic plates and below the ocean floor and so on in the world than there is in the water in all the oceans and all the lakes and all the tropospheric water around the planet. People don't understand that. There's no shortage of water.
They don't understand that life can be found miles and miles deep in the earth either.
Right. You're talking about organisms.
Organisms, yeah.
Exactly.
Microorganisms.
This is the chemobacteria.
So will we find life on Mars? There's probably a pretty good chance of it.
Well, I already know that. Okay, I took care of the employees working at we call the Space Force, which I get a kick out of Trump. Trump, by the way, his secret Masonic name is Polyon Rising, because he wants to recolonize Mars and re-terraform it. The fact is, they've discovered even an open lake on Mars. There's tons of water on Mars. Mars was involved with an ancient galactic war, and we lost, and the population of Mars was destroyed. The fact is, Apollo is actually the king of Mars in ancient mythology, and all the high-level Masons believe this. So all the obelisks before the Vatican and before Washington, D.C., are all the phallic symbol of the erect penis, if you want to call it, of Apollo, saying they want Apollo to return or mankind to return to Mars. And Trump, by the way, announced a few months ago he's going to do it. He's reopening up space, which, by the way, under Barack Obama, they hid. They took all the space programs and hid them. So that you wouldn't know all the stuff that we do out there in space. It's like the first comment that the Director of Space Command said to me July 10th, 1994. Hey, Dr. Deagle and Dr. Ogrodnik, we control every cubic centimeter of space between here and Mars. I said, what do you mean? I said, the moon. He said, shut up, Deagle. This is a come-to-Jesus talk, so you don't freak out. We control every cubic centimeter between space here and Mars. We have our own space fleets. We have a colony on Mars since 1982. We've discovered ancient monuments there. This is all BS that we have. Mankind hasn't been there. We were there tens of millennia ago. In fact, the Black Dark Knight satellite around Earth has been up around Earth between 35 and 15,000 years ago, and we've actually visited it and can't get inside it. It's three times the size of the International Space Station in polar orbit at 22,000 miles out. So we do not have the technology now to even make what we have back tens of millennia ago. And the fact is, our governments are getting very, very advanced very quickly and are spreading out in space. And they don't want to tell you all the stuff they have, including all the breakthroughs, because the globalists want to reduce the world population. They want you to have disasters in climate. They want fires in Northern California. They want population shifts to resilient cities. In fact, they're planning a site called Deagle, D-E-A-G-E-L, a play on my name, which pisses me off, that they actually talk about population reduction in America from 327 million by 2025 to 65 million and 12 resilient super compact cities with 300 square foot apartments for humans and 12 cities of 5 million. That's what they're talking about. These maniacs, these control freak, satanic, luciferic idiots actually planned this. And they met with President Obama at least 40 times, these people did. Okay?
Yet they probably moved 30 to 35 million Latinos in here in the last decade or two. Well, the last decade or three.
Well, yeah, it's a lot more in California than they even estimate. For example, and then they are allowing them to vote and get a driver's license. More people in the last 2 years received driver's licenses or illegals than legal citizens in California. It's disgusting.
And one of the most interesting things about what's happening to the Democratic Party that I'm sure you've been watching is the transmogrification of the Democrats from a political party into a religion. You notice their emphasis on the other side being evil rather than just...
Well, they don't want a dialogue. You see, if you're a normal American and you believe in the idea of a dialogue to find solutions, for example, I'm not against the idea of a reverse tax income so people can afford to buy food and have decent housing. But they need to work. I don't believe in welfare. Number two, that also removes
men
from
the
home.
And by the way, the Bible took that position, too. If you don't work, you don't eat.
Right. And the second thing I think we should understand is everybody deserves health care. Health care was a right in ancient Israel. It's, for example, how can you have the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Now they're talking about this new regulation change. So 28.5 million Americans can afford health care, but they're crappy insurance plans. And then when you hear idiots like Ocasio-Cortez, you want to make Medicare for all, but Medicare is BS. If you don't have Part B insurance and buy the best plan, you're going to pay through the nose, and can you afford it? I don't think so. So people don't think that they don't understand this. Unless you control costs for drugs, costs for malpractice, costs for regulatory agencies making expensive treatments that are dangerous or unnecessary or meddlesome. And believe me, the medical profession, by and large, are gutless people. I've got guts. Let's put it this way. There's nobody tougher than Deagle. Nobody. And I'm going to tell you, as a doctor, I came against specialists, surgeons, and other people that all ticked me off. Because they would try to tell me, oh, when I met with the head of chemo-oncology, for example, the Vancouver General in 1977, 41 years ago, I said, you know, I don't mind like killing people. And he said, what do you mean, Deagle? And I said, you know, I'm sick and tired of coming back to the floor after I give people chemotherapy. And when they have a cardiac arrest, I can fry all the hairs in their chest and they never come back. Why don't we find out what their electrolytes are, what's going on with their metabolism, they haven't eaten a decent meal in 3 to 4 weeks, and what is cancer? Why are we treating it this way? Why do we go in like commandos and think we clobber the hell out of the cancer and they have a cardiac arrest and we can never get them back? So you ask good questions. I call axe because of my Norwegian Deagle name background. I ask people questions and they don't have good answers. And that includes, by the way, Trump. Everybody thinks Trump is solving all the problems. No, Trump is trying to meddle through it to see if he can solve it, but he's got very bad advisors. He needs people like you, Lowell Ponte. I call it the Samuel Council. He needs people like Scott Adams will be on tomorrow from Red State Talk Radio. He needs people like John W. Spring, who actually was a whistleblower of the first Cuban Missile Crisis. He needs to have people that are not tied to him, don't want a salary, don't need glory, can talk to him a half hour a week, because Trump is surrounded by morons, idiots, and people that give him disinformation like PNAC author John Lightning Bolt, I call him. Why is somebody like Lightning Bolt, who wrote the Project for a New American Century, a key advisor to Trump? This is insanity, isn't it?
Well, he certainly is an extreme point of view. I mean,
he's a luciferic maniac, megalomaniac murderer. How's that?
I'd say that's extreme, yes.
Yeah, that's what he is, okay? Let's call a spade a spade. I won't hold back. Other people's on this network and elsewhere might hold back, not Deagle. Okay? I'm going to ask them some questions. As they said to Trump, you're either going to talk to us now or at the judgment seat, because one way or the other, Trump, whether you're now or not a president, but you're in the Jesus and Yeshua, God the Father, are talking to you, he's going to say, Deagle, come over here. Is this what this guy said or did? Let me tell you, you're going to talk now or later, boy. You are. So you're going to listen to Lowell Ponte and people like me now before you screw things up and guarantee a thermonuclear, geoclimatic warfare and the death of most of humans. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com. And a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.